All right. Welcome back, Lab 52, a Dynasty podcast. I'm one of your hosts, the Tecmo Weave, along with my co-host, Weapon X. He's playing some boys to men there. Motown Philly, it's so hard to say goodbye. I was thinking of it, that would be a good song in the off season, right? What do you think, Weapon X?
Yeah, that'd be really good, man. It's like this is a weird time of the year now. You got a week off. It's the first week off of football basically since early summer. So end of summer. So now you're looking at a situation where, what do we got now? You know, what do we really have? We're looking towards the Super Bowl, and it's one of the times of the year where there isn't a whole lot going on in fantasy football. But hey, you've got to find things to talk about. You know.
You do. What did I write down here on my note sheet? Looking forward to getting the Super Bowl over with. you know, it's you know, if I don't know about you, I mean, you know, there's the two parts of, I mean, just there's not only two, but you can follow sports and you can do fantasy activities. So by the time we get to the Super Bowl, unless your team is there, I always feel like the media saturation of the Super Bowl and how it's marketed to people that don't know anything about any of the players. You know, they'll tell you, like, you know, Pat Mahomes, he's a really good quarterback. And you know, Tom Brady, he's won multiple Super Bowls before, and they go over this all week long. By the time the game is here, I just get it done. So we can go into the off season and start doing startup drafts, right?
Yeah. That's funny, because when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl a couple years back, even me as a fan, I was getting tired of the same talk. The game is Eagles versus Patriots. We know who was on each team. We know the matchups. We know all that. I'm like, let's get this game going, man. And even as a fan, I wasn't really interested in hearing all the talk, because we know what the situation is and we're just ready to play ball, you know. And just like you said, let's get this Super Bowl over with. I'm excited for the game. It's a tremendous matchup, but I personally am not big on listening to all the hype all week long. This year will be different, the media day and all that. It's not going to be there like it was in the past. Maybe that's going to be a good thing, though. We'll see.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just bitter that the Packers lost. I think that factors into the formula here. Go ahead.
Before we get to that, I didn't want to bring it up because I know you're a Packers fan. Oh man, how is that situation right now in your area right now? As far as that, everyone knows what the main thing that happened in that game with the play call there at the end, kicking the field goal. What do you feel like that? How do you feel as a fan when that
happens? Oh well, okay. I watched it. I've been open. I don't always watch all the games. I don't even watch, you know, necessarily all the Packer games, because sometimes, you know, you don't want to watch and then you've just wasted 3 hours when they break your heart at the end. But no, they've had a good season this year. When I was watching it, my initial reaction was right before, you know, fourth down, like, okay, incomplete. All right, you're going for it. Here it is. And then all of a sudden, oh, they're going to kick the field goal. And I was like, okay, Matt LaFleur is smart. He had made that call earlier in the game where they rushed up. It was like, you know, second and one or something like that. And they could have just, or maybe second and five, and they could have continued to kill the clock. So they ran up, committed a penalty, stopped the clock, and just gave him a first down. So that was, I'm like, oh, that was a, you know, that was a smart move. So he must know what he's doing. and the defense had been playing pretty well. So in the back of my head, I was like, well, okay, you know, it didn't feel right. It didn't feel right at all, but you kind of rationalize it. He made a smart move. He's a smart guy. The defense is playing okay. So, well, of course, they just want to get the ball back. They don't want the momentum to have to be on Brady, and they just want to close this out with a win versus a tie and going into overtime. So I understood that, but, you know, in retrospect, oops, you know, you pretty much insulted Aaron Rodgers again. You know, forget about drafting Jordan Love. You're saying, hey, man, you know, we're not going to really surround you with any sort of, you know, significant elite weapons. And you're here at the later point in your career, and we've had a tough off season, but we had a good regular season, and you're at home. and I think his like first NFC Championship game at home. And let's put this on the defense to win.
That's unbelievable.
What was your take?
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, all right, they're in four down territory right here. You got the MVP of the league. You got the guy that's been carrying you all year long. Who would you want to see with the ball in their hands at the end of the game? There's not many players I would take over Aaron Rodgers there. I'm going to go for it. And I see the kicker come out. I'm just like, this is going to be something that's scrutinized all week long, all off season long. And the thing I don't understand was what Matt LaFleur, he's a great coach. I don't have any doubts that he's going to be a solid coach. Is Aaron Rodgers helping him? Of course. But when I saw that play, I'm like, Aaron Rodgers on that third down play, he may have approached it a little differently if he knew they were going for it. And my opinion is, I think Rodgers believed they were going for it on fourth down, no matter what happened there.
Oh, are you talking about when he failed to run it, like even to take off, he couldn't take it off? Yes.
I saw that wide open angle there, and I was talking to someone at work this week. I said, that it was wide open. He could have easily went and ran for it. But I'm thinking maybe he's like, all right, we're four down territory. I'll get it the next play. He forced the pass there. It was never going to get complete there. But I just think that decision to go for it there, to kick a field goal there, you're putting the ball in the hands of Tom Brady and saying, all right, Tom Brady, all he needs now is one first down. You're not asking to drive down the field. He just needs one first down. This game is over. And, yeah, Brady the last – couple possessions threw a couple interceptions, but this is Tom Brady and you're asking for him to get one first down. Yeah, my money's going on Tom Brady in that situation. I'm not putting the game in his hands. I was very disappointed by that decision. I was rooting for Green Bay. I wanted to see Rodgers get to the Super Bowl again, and I'm like, man, I can't honestly bet on his defense that has failed him the franchise. They failed the franchise for many years. You know this. The defense has been
that's the Achilles heel. Yeah, you know, you're scoring scoring 35 points a game, and your defense is ranked number 23. it's just a very clear weakness on the team. And I don't know if they're ranked 23 this year. That was me generally joking, but the point still stands.
Yeah,
it's not the offense letting down the team; it's the defense.
Definitely.
Well, I was curious. You know, we talk about our email every week, and if you could go over our email address, and have we received any messages on our email?
Yeah, so we're lab52dynasty@gmail.com. And right now, it's been silent. A bunch of crickets in there.
I would have thought we would have gotten spam, you know, like buy some
not even spam.
Buy some insurance or somebody saying I entered my wrong numbers on my credit card, so I need to verify them, you know, and it's addressed to a dear customer.
So, I mean, I don't know if I set up the email where I have the Raven system where a Raven. I'm not sure, but if that's the case, so obviously someone sent something months ago and it hasn't gotten here yet. But now I don't know. We just started this show a couple months ago. You know, I think as time goes on, we'll build a fan base and we'll get some emails, but we just have to be patient, you know, and we'll see what happens.
I was just checking into it, so I can accept that. Things that are hard to accept, though. We hit on it to start off the show. You know, end of the season. To me, it's always kind of like it's the darkest time. But at least I can look forward to doing that startup. And I really think that's probably one of the more effective ways to deal with the off season blues. So my general question I wrote here is, you know, well, how do you fill your time? All of a sudden, when I look at the off season, I'm like, oh crap, I got this extra day of the weekend. You know, I don't have to jam everything into one day because football is going to be on day two. What do you find yourself doing in the off season to take up that extra day? Do you do other fantasy stuff? Do you just indulge in other interests? Or
yeah, I find myself just taking more time. I still do obviously research fantasy and I listen to podcasts. I'm more of a podcast listener than you are, obviously.
That was
determined that last week. but, But no, it's funny. I just, you know, I like watching some shows. I've been watching Shark Tank a ton lately. I don't know what it is. I've been in the Shark Tank kick of late. I've been, I don't know. I kind of just like the negotiation aspect of it. It's kind of fun. It's kind of similar to fantasy if you think about it.
Oh, definitely. Where you invest? There's all that craziness out there right now with like GameStop. I don't even really understand what's going on. Like, it seems kind of like, well, yeah. Would it be illegal to have a message board impact the price of stocks? I don't know. Is that illegal? I don't know. But yeah, in my off season, I'm a generally boring person. But, no, I'm just joking. But no, I got this TV. I hardly ever watch TV, and I just got this TV, and I've never. If you've heard of it, it's called Samsung TV Plus. And it's basically like literally free internet TV that's sort of like cable. But the channels are probably not good enough to get on a cable network. So, like, there's one channel, and you probably get like a good, I don't know, 100 channels for free. Like, and one channel is only Baywatch. That's it. It's Baywatch. Oh, it's Baywatch 24 hours a day. There's another channel that's only Nick Cannon's Wild and Out. That's it. You can only.
Oh, man.
But there are commercials on it. There's real channels on there. It's just a weird mishmash. So I'm going to be giving Samsung TV Plus a check this off season.
That's pretty cool. I have something similar. It's not Samsung TV, but I got YouTube TV, and it's pretty cool. It's a streaming cable service. It's not too much at all. They got a bunch of channels. They got a lot of real channels though. It's more so for people that want to spend less on actual cable TV. They charge you $200 a month for DirecTV. I don't know what it is. I don't see any reason to ever pay that much for cable at all. I don't even watch half the channels that are on there. But yeah, so. It's kind of cool that we're talking about this because it kind of makes me think about, like, what is your favorite show as a kid growing up? Because you brought up Wild and Out, and just that makes me think about Nickelodeon growing up with, like, Nickelodeon Guts and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, it was unfortunate. I grew up in the time where cable was around, but you would still see them, like, you know, well, ask if it's in your area. But there was certainly cable in my area. You know, my parents didn't want to get cable. So I just had to watch the antenna. I think the first TV I had in my room was like a black and white TV. You know, that was just because that, you know, and then that one went in the garage. You know, the age of console televisions, if you remember those.
They're made
to look like they're part of the room. You know, hey, this is just a, you know, a stand here and there's a TV inside of it. But yeah, that's right. Favorite TV show though, growing up, there were a number of shows. You know, I remember the TGIF lineup, and I would have to say as a kid, like the one show that I remember really looking forward to watching. And I liked a lot of shows growing up, you know, Thundercats, He-Man, Family Ties, Cosby Show. You know, you look back at the Cosby Show, a whole different light now. But I remember really thinking that the show, and it's kind of aged poorly, but as a kid I thought it was really cool. Perfect Strangers. Perfect Strangers. That was just a really, really funny show. But yeah, you know, other shows you'd watch before you go to school. There's a show called Video Power. That was a syndicated.
If you remember
Video Power, we'll have to dedicate a segment of the next show to Video Power because the kids, it was like a game show, and then the winner got to run through this little maze and strap games to themselves. And like only one kid won a Neo Geo. And I mean, in today's dollars, that would be like winning like a $4,000, you know, console. But yeah, no, I remember always thinking, oh man, that would be so cool to be on that show. But how about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that show mainly because my brother watched shows like that. I'm 33 years old, so that's a little bit.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm one generation older. I'm kind of right, like Generation X is right before me. I'm kind of on the cusp of Generation X, but I wasn't necessarily just walking around with a lot of flannels.
Yeah. So for me, shows I liked watching growing up, I always liked the game shows on Nickelodeon. Like, you remember Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yes. I like that show. Yes, the big talking face.
whatever he was. Omex, yes. Omex Temple, or I don't know. But yeah, I liked that show. It was kind of cool. And then, you know, I mentioned Nickelodeon Guts earlier and Global Guts, stuff like that. And then cartoons like Hey Arnold and Doug. And those are the kind of stuff I watch. And then Saved by the Bell, Family Matters. That was kind of my core episodes I used to watch basically all night, every night. It was a good generation.
Funny you mentioned Family Matters. I was thinking of you can believe it or not. the special guest we were going to have on, I was going to throw him an off the wall question and be like, which Family Matters character was your favorite? And it can't be Urkel. You know, you got 10 seconds. Oh, and, yeah. I already had my own answer. You'd be like, well, who's yours? I'd be like, it was the sister. It was a sister that got kicked off the show that, you know, she didn't really have a role after the first couple of seasons. They just like removed her from the family. And then she went on to do porn. Yeah. So it's like there's consequences, ABC, to what you did. I think her name was Judy. I think it was Judy. They
sent her away to a, that's on them, man.
They did. They sent her away to a reform school or something. But yeah, interesting. You know, my notes here, I'm going to kind of just skip down to one thing I think will be fun to do. Trade reviews. And I finally did my first trade of the off season this year. And I kind of want to get your take on it. We can talk about some of the players, some of what's involved. And then the other trade I actually took from the DLF website forum, where they have people's completed trades. So we're going to assume that the trades reported there are 100% honest. But first, yeah, I'd like to get your feedback on this trade I did. And of course, in your evaluation of this, it's kind of hard to not necessarily be able to look at the needs of my team. We're just going to look at this trade in a vacuum and then comment on it based on value and then maybe potentially how the pieces could affect the teams that they're going to. In the league that I'm in, it's generally a standard scoring league. 6-point touchdowns and receiving yards. You know, it's about a point for every 10 yards. But no points for receptions and no sort of premium points for any position. And this is a 12-team league. With all that out of the way, I traded away Cooper Kupp, Robbie Anderson, the 6th pick of the 3rd round, and the 4th pick of the 4th round. So the 3-6 and the 4-4. And I received Allen Robinson and Phillip Lindsay. What do you think?
Yeah, so in a vacuum, in a trade like that where it's not one way or it's not way in favor of one side, I would just say when I review a trade like that, I'll be like, who got the best player in the trade? And in this trade, Allen Robinson, in my opinion, is the best player. Cooper Kupp is a solid player, but I think Robinson, his trajectory and where he's going, at worst, if his situation stays the same, he's still going to be a receiver that I would rank ahead of Cooper Kupp, at worst. And that's if it stays the same where it is right now. And there's a good chance he's going to be in a better situation next year than he is now.
Where would you have to go for it to get worse? With that trade, I mean, maybe that's a good question.
Where would be a worse situation
as the wide receiver one on a team other than the Bears?
I don't know. That's really tough. Because the Bears quarterback situation is as bad as it can get. I really don't know. I would say if he heads to a team with a rookie quarterback that's not proven, that may be worse. Because right, at least with Trubisky, he isn't the best player, but he will lock on to Allen Robinson. He had 151 targets this year, and that's a solid. He had Foles too as well, but Trubisky targeted Robinson a lot. But if you put Robinson on a different team with a different quarterback, a quarterback that is a lot more competent, the numbers he's going to put up is he put up tremendous numbers in Jacksonville. And that's Jacksonville. They didn't have the best quarterback in the world either at that time. So yeah, I think that trade is – it's a very interesting trade. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, they're mix and match. They're almost the same type of fantasy option. They're wide receiver twos. But Allen Robinson could be a wide receiver one weekly. I would say on your end, you got the best player in the trade. It's a solid trade. But no team got it way better.
Well, I appreciate that. And I definitely agree. This isn't the type of forum post trade I always tend to see online. You know, those are the ones people are posting. And I always wonder when they
– The brag post.
Like, do you think this is an okay trade? I traded a third round pick and I got Lamar Jackson. What do you think? You know, like, oh, you know, you that's not worth it, you know. You know, or you look at their team and questioning, like, is that really your team down there? And if that is the team you have, where, you know, you got four running back ones, they got, you know, Pat Mahomes, every rookie that, you know, you got Hebert, Herbert, so DeAndre Hopkins, is that really how it is? So, no, this is a real world trade with real world players. Most teams, I would like to think a dynasty, you know, your whole roster is not made up of all stars. Otherwise this type of show wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
what do you think the general value? You know, I only have the 3-6 and the 4-4 left. And he's like, oh no, I need those to get this deal done. And my thinking on the trade, I did need more running back depth. I'm very weak at running back. So getting a guy like Philip Lindsay to me felt like, oh, that's a nice buy low. That's a nice speculative add. And Allen Robinson can be a true number one on your fantasy squad, where Cooper Kupp and Robbie Anderson cannot do that. So if it's just going to take a couple of later round picks to make that happen, I can stomach that. But my question to you is, what's the value of those? You know, okay, we're going in the middle of the third round and later. I felt like, well, they're dart throws. I'm just going to throw them in. Have you ever had any, you know, great success with picks in that stage?
They're definitely dart throws. If that's what it takes to get the deal done, you do it with no questions asked. You're going to run into some teams that will get good players in that range, but it's just like the NFL draft, 6th, 7th round. Who are you going to get there right away? It's the percentages after each round continue to get lower and lower as far as what impact they'll make on an NFL team. So if that's what it takes to get it done, adding a couple late round picks, you have to do it. You don't stress out the late round picks. You might hit on someone, but you already have Allen Robinson. Like, you already know what he is. And if that's what it takes to get it done, I wouldn't even worry about that.
Well, I appreciate that feedback. And with me and Allen Robinson, I used to have him a number of years ago. I think this is one of the things I like most about Dynasty, is that if you make a mistake, you get rid of somebody or you get rid of them and you regret it, there's always a chance down the line that you may reconnect with that player. You know, it's a girl you're dating and you break up and you're like, no, we're going to get back together. What we had was great. It's nice for me to get Allen Robinson back. And as a dynasty owner, having the players, at least to me, while it may not necessarily translate to regular season success, players that go into the free agency offseason hot, to me, that's always a fun commodity to have. Because there may be an owner or two in your league. It's the unknown is better than the known. And, you know, so having a guy like Allen Robinson where his landing spot isn't known, that may appeal to some people more than others, but I think his track record speaks for itself. Let's move on to the next trade. This is the one from the DLF website. And they describe the league as a half-point PPR league, 12-team. So I'm assuming very similar to the league you're going to be starting up. And the trade that the person posted, and they put one of those little emojis banging its head against a brick wall. It was one team sent Mixon and Ayuk, and the other team received Christian McCaffrey. What do you think about hearing that?
Yeah. I mean,
Is it really a bang in your head into the wall type of trade? I mean, at first,
I'm not saying I've heard worse trades, but I'm not trading Christian McCaffrey for that. He's too much of an impact in fantasy in any format. He's a league winning player in any format. I'm not trading him unless it's going to blow me away, and I don't think that would blow me away as a fantasy owner.
I've been the maker of, you know, plenty of bad trades. And occasionally you hit on some good ones and other ones are in the middle. And looking at this trade, maybe on the surface, I feel like it's a realistic trade. But when you're trading the number one player in fantasy, usually those trades aren't realistic. They're not normal. Like if it is Ayuk,
exactly,
Mixon, and a first, okay. To me, I would say, yeah, to now me, that would be enough. I mean, so is it a first round pick away from being legit? Probably. But even without the first round pick, I don't necessarily feel that bad about it. If someone's saying, oh, I'm so excited for Ayuk and Matthew Stafford will go to the 49ers and he's just going to light it up. Joe Mixon, well, he's going to come back. He'll be an RB1. And Christian McCaffrey, well, he's coming off of an injury and he has a lot of carries. You know, give me this situation versus the guy whose stock is only bound to go down, which is true. When you're number one, there's only one way for it to go down.
Yes.
So yep. I could see myself doing a trade like this, and no, this isn't my trade. I can just ask it for a friend here. Somebody posted this on a website I visit, but it's not mine. But I could work myself into that mentality. Well, I'm getting an RB1 and a wide receiver one for a guy that he's no longer going to be the number one RB1. But you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I think your take on it is more realistic than mine. I'm going to check C here. In the closing, you know, minutes we have on today's show, this one went really fast. I had messaged you about a fun idea. And I'm sure you've heard the term roster clogging. You got some roster clogging players. players that, okay, as long as you have somewhat limited rosters, who are guys you find on your teams, maybe throughout different leagues, where you start to think, boy, you know, I've wasted a lot of time in this bad relationship with this player. I'll start. The guy I got here, and I'd also love to hear your take on him as a Eagles fan, Alshon Jeffrey. seem to have him all over the place. And then when I actually look back at his stats today, it's been 7 years since he had kind of a fantasy dominant season. That's a long time to be living in the past. What do you think about Alshon Jeffrey?
That's funny you bring his name up. I was actually thinking about Alshon's career earlier this week, and just when he came from Chicago, it just, you see the potential, and that's the story of his career, potential. We saw him have a couple breakout years, and then people continue to feed off that and think this is what he is. I'm not saying he is what he is now. I'm not saying that's Alshon Jeffrey overall. He's a talented player, but right now, man, he's a roster clogger because he's always injured. He was injured before, and he's injured now. He's the kind of player that it's tough to pass up on a guy like that.
And
you see the size.
He's only 30. And he's only 30. I was shocked when I saw that. I said he's going to be 31. And the last two seasons he's had have been complete trash. Yeah. And as far as a dynasty stock, what are you holding on to for him? Why are you holding on to him at this point? You're going to say, well, he's not my starter, but that, you know, that bye week. I mean, you're really going to feel considerably better starting Alshon Jeffrey than, you know, some other guy that's the wide receiver 3 on their team that you can get off the waiver wire. But you're right. Yeah, the size is there. Yeah, he's not that old, but I guess injuries and, you know, attitude, conditioning, all that stuff, situation, take a toll on a guy. But yeah, one player that I think you know, that if I had to cut somebody this offseason that still has maybe some perceived value, it would be him. I just don't really see his stock going anywhere positive. Who do you have as a roster clogger?
Yeah. Yeah, mine is a pretty obvious one, and it can go along with a lot of players in this similar situation. A guy that was tremendous production, and you're waiting for it to happen again. Mm-hmm. Just like Alshon Jeffrey, I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell. It's just one of them players that, like, you've seen what he did before, as elite as they can get. One of the best players we've seen at the position for that, I'd say, 3 to 4 year span. And you're looking at his age. You're like, all right, he's not 30. I mean, he's not 30 years old yet. He may start to bounce back. But after seeing this year, going from New York to Kansas City, he can't even get on the field right now, even with Clyde Edwards-Helaire out. He can't even get on the field. That's a roster clogger. That's a definition of a roster clogger, because you can't get rid of him for anything valuable, and you don't want to cut him because you're just hoping that Le'Veon Bell has an off season and he comes back and says, I'm in the best shape of my life.
Absolutely. Funny enough, made a trade offer this week where, you know, I wasn't willing to target or able to target a high end back. So just somehow maybe snagging Le'Veon Bell for that exact scenario, that he goes to Miami and gets most of the carries and he's not injured finally. And there's no attitude problems, and Brian Flores does a good job with him, and his only competition is Myles Gaskin. you know, that's the hope. Le'Veon Bell, disappointment. Once again, another player where you're living in the past, saying, look what he was in 2017. Yeah. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, and in football years, 3 years, that's a lot. In football years, it absolutely is, because you know how much can change in 3 years. Some players' careers only last 3 to 4 years total. So if a player goes from 2017 to 2020 without making a major impact, there's better chance than not that it's just not happening anymore. You know, it's in football, you don't expect players to come out of nowhere.
Correct, and especially at a position that isn't quarterback. So those other positions are just too athletic. Yeah, There's too much of a beating. You got an Alshon, you got a Le'Veon. The chances of them being an AP or some sort of Jerry Rice or even a Brandon Marshall, that's, you know, they're the exception. And, you know, the Jeffries and Bells might be the rule. But we'll have to see. But that doesn't mean, at least still believe Le'Veon Bell has value, and he could be he's certainly a good speculative buy. Any player that we're all down on, if there's a window for them to be good, I think that's a good speculative ad. But hey, it's been another awesome week. You know, got the Super Bowl next week. That'll be interesting. Get that done, and then we can start talking off-season startups and all the fun that comes with that. I'll let you close this out this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks again. And once again, lab52dynasty@gmail.com. Email us anything you want. Yeah, it's been another fun week. I hope everyone has a good week, and enjoy the Super Bowl next Sunday. Have a good week.